Aren't you glad that God does not depend upon our programming and execution? No, that's quite all right. We'll do it the hard way. All right. Gathered in his name to worship him.
We have gathered to his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him.
Our Heavenly Father, this morning we have come into your house and gathered in your name to worship you. We pray now on this first Sunday of Advent that you would remind us that we have the opportunity to celebrate Jesus Christ being born anew in our hearts every single day of the year. Thank you, Lord. Meet with us now. Have your way in everything that's said and done, and we will give you all the praise. For it's in your wonderful name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand together for our opening hymn, number 249.
Thank you.
You may be seated. This is the first Sunday of Advent, and at this time we will be lighting the Advent candle.
Different names are given to the individual Advent candles to describe the many aspects of Christ's coming. As we light the first candle, we will call it the candle of expectation. Lighting this candle reminds us that God fulfilled God's promise to send the long-awaited Messiah who would free men and women from the bondage of sin. We too, as the Israelites of old, must watch for the Savior, invite him into our hearts and lives, and share Jesus with others day by day.
The scripture is from Mark 13, 24 through 37. At that time, after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the heaven will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of God coming on the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send out his angels to gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things taking place, you can know that his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene before all things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard. Stay alert. The coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his slaves instructions about the work they were to do. And he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. You too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return. In the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I say to you what I say to everyone, watch for him.
Let us pray. God of love, you always keep your promises. We do not always know when to expect you, because sometimes you come into our lives in unexpected ways. But we do know you will come. Make our minds and hearts open and watchful for signs of your coming to our lives, and teach us ways to share your presence with others. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns you'd like to share with the family of God? These two shall pass. All right. I saw Pat's ears pick up when you said your dog ate a horse. All right. Any others? Anne? You say that's your sister? Okay. working with Afghan refugees in Virginia. There are a lot of refugees that need our prayers right now, both from Afghanistan and from everywhere else in the world. Mary Ann was back in the hospital. Any others? All right. One horse ain't and one horse is. That's great. All right. Well, God cares about the dog and God cares about the horse. Aren't you glad? The Bible says we can cast all of our cares on him because he does care for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness, for your love. We're so thankful, Lord, for the truth of the Christmas season, for God so loved that he gave. Thank you, Lord, for the people of Rockwood United Methodist Church, and down through the years, they have been a giving people also. We pray that you would remind us of your love and care for us. Help us in this Christmas season that we might seek to share that with others. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with our leaders. We pray that you'd guide and direct their lives. Remind them that we are one nation under God. We pray, Lord, today that you'd be with all of our first responders, the police, the fire departments, the doctors, the nurses, the EMTs, all of the others. We pray, Lord, that as even another COVID variant sweeps across the globe, that you would remind us that you are the great physician, that you are with us. Remind us that nothing is going to happen to us today that us and you together cannot handle. We pray that you'd be with your children all around the globe. Help us, Lord, that we might respond with a calmness and a common sense. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for this very special time of the year. Help us, Lord, that we might learn to celebrate Christmas every day. We ask it in the wonderful name of that babe of the Bethlehem manger and the Christ of Calvary's cross, the one who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Oh, again, we appreciate your faithfulness in giving. We remind you that the offering receptacles are at their back and side door. I'm looking forward to the time when we can get back to the ushers doing their job and passing the plates. But anyway, we appreciate your faithfulness and your giving. I'd like to share a song with you that Dottie Rambo and I wrote. Okay, she did most of the work, but I put in my 2 cents worth too, and it seems seasonally appropriate for the offertory this morning.
He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny, to be born in that Bethlehem manger, to bring salvation to you and me. And if that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There are no stars in the sky, and the eagle can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven is a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't shepherds and the wise men adored him. The angels sang his praises that night. He came to bring hope to the hopeless and to give peace and joy and light. And if that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There are no stars in the sky, and the eagle can't that isn't love, then heaven is a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't Merry Christmas to you, because of God's great love.
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below, praise Him above the heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You may be seated.
Today's scripture is Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 6. Who has believed our message? To whom will the Lord reveal his saving power? My servant grow up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, sprouting from a root in dry and sterile ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with bittersweet grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way when he went by. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God for his own sins. But he was wounded and crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was whipped and we were healed. All of us have strayed away like sheep. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the guilt and sins of all of us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In case you didn't know, we are living in a very litigious society. That means they like to litigate. That means people just seem to have a penchant for suing other people and corporations and everything else. I read not too long ago about a man that was suing McDonald's because he had eaten too many hamburgers and too many fries and put on too much weight. That works for me. Start suing the donut companies tomorrow. Maybe you don't recognize the name of Jonathan Lee Riches. He is a former federal prisoner, inmate number 40948-018. He's known for the many lawsuits that he's filed in federal district courts. In the last 15 years, he has filed 2,600 lawsuits. Among some of the more famous defendants of his lawsuits are the New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick, President George W. Bush, Attorney General Janet Reno, Martha Stewart, Jeff Gordon, NFL quarterback Michael Vick, Steve Jobs, and Britney Spears, and who knows how many others. In order to protect themselves, manufacturers have gotten to the point where they put all kinds of warning labels on all kinds of products. Now remember, some of these sound a little bit ridiculous, but to me it's more of a reflection on our society than it is on the manufacturers. On a toner cartridge for a laser printer, do not eat toner. On a toilet bowl cleaning brush, do not use orally. On a birthday card for a one-year-old, not suitable for children under 36 months old. On a motorcycle helmet-mounted rearview mirror, remember, objects in the mirror are actually behind you. Okay, it makes me scary that maybe they're on the road. Now, here's a label inside a plastic protective bag for fragile objects. Warning, do not climb inside the bag and zip it up. Doing so may cause injury and or death. That sounds sensible, except for the fact that the bag is 6 inches by 6 inches by 5 inches. Do not climb inside and zip it up. On a shipment of hammers, may be harmful if swallowed. On a cordless drill, this product is not intended to be used as a dental drill. On a Sears hairdryer, do not use while sleeping. On a bag of Fritos, you could be a winner. No purchase necessary. Details inside. Now, that one, in this day and age, that one makes more sense. Because you don't have to purchase something to have it. We won't get into all that right now, but I think most of you know what I mean there. Okay, and it's not just Fritos they're going after either. On packaging for a Rowenta iron, do not iron clothes on body. You might miss that the first time, but hopefully the second time you'll remember. On a children's cough medicine, do not drive car or operate heavy machinery after taking this medication. On the Nitol sleep aid, warning, may cause drowsiness. On most brands of Christmas lights, for indoor or outdoor use only. Okay. On a package of peanuts, warning, contains nuts. On a Swedish chainsaw, do not attempt to stop chain with your hands. Okay. On a bottle of all laundry detergent, remove clothing before distributing in washing machine. We get so wrapped up, especially in the frenzy of Christmas season, shopping for gifts and cards and long lists of people and dinners and parties and activities and programs. In our land of plenty, we come close to insanity for 2 or 3 months. Well, it's getting to where it's pretty much all year long, but you get the idea that we're talking about here, especially in light of Christmas. It's estimated that this year Americans will spend over $1 trillion on the Christmas season. With the pressure from TV, the internet, our children and grandchildren, the nostalgia, the guilt from the rest of the year, we tend to leave rational behavior somewhere behind us. Suddenly we feel like we must out-shop and out-decorate and out-spend and out-party everyone else. For the Christian, this should be the happiest, holiest, most blessed time of the year. However, there's a remote chance that things could get out of hand if we would allow them to. Perhaps you've heard the story about a woman who was Christmas shopping with her two small children. You taking notes on this, Brittany? Okay. After hours of looking at row after row of toys and everything else imaginable, and hearing the children ask for everything they saw, she finally made it to the elevator. She felt like so many of us feel so often during the holiday season. There was overwhelming pressure to go to every party, every housewarming, to taste all the holiday food, getting that perfect gift for every single person on our shopping list, and making sure that we respond to everybody who sent us a card last year. Finally, the elevator doors opened. The elevator was already crowded. She pushed her way in, dragging her two children and all the bags. When the doors finally closed, she said, "You know, whoever started this Christmas thing should be shot." A calm voice from the back of the elevator said, "Don't worry, we've already crucified him." For the rest of the trip on that elevator, there was a stunned silence. Let me give you four warning labels that perhaps we ought to attach to Christmas. Warning. Spiritual hazard. Don't put goods ahead of God. Colossians 3, since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. In Romans 12, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. We should be celebrating the arrival of Jesus Christ more than the arrival of Santa. Speaking of Santa, not that I would get off track or anything, but let me just share with you. Somebody wrote, obviously it was a woman, but somebody wrote, evidence that Santa Claus is really a woman. I hate to be the one to question the sacred myth, but I believe he is a she. Think about it. Christmas is a big, organized, warm, fuzzy, nurturing social deal. And I have trouble believing that a guy could possibly pull that off. For starters, the vast majority of men don't even think about selecting gifts until Christmas Eve. How many of you guys have ever gone shopping on Christmas Eve? We've got two late shoppers and a whole bunch of fibbers. Okay. Once in the mall, they seem surprised to find only Ronco products, socket wrench sets, and mood rings left on the store shelves. On this count alone, I'm convinced that Santa is a woman. Surely if Santa were a male, everyone would wake up Christmas morning to find a rotating musical chia pet under their tree, still in the shopping bag. Another problem for he Santa would be getting there. First of all, there'd be no reindeer, because they would all be strapped on the rear bumper of the sleigh, and Blitzen's rack would be over the fireplace. And even if the male Santa did have reindeer, he would inevitably get lost in the snow and the clouds, and then refuse to stop and ask for directions. Here are some additional reasons why Santa cannot possibly be a man. Men cannot pack a bag. Men would not be caught wearing red velvet. Men would feel like their masculinity was being threatened if they had to be seen with elves. Men don't answer their mail. Men refuse to have their physique described, even in jest, as anything resembling a bowl full of jelly. Doing the ho-ho-ho thing would cramp their macho-ness. Finally, being responsible for Christmas would require a commitment. What we give should be a reflection of God's love and the gift of God's Son to you and me. Here's a second warning label. Warning, relational hazard. Don't give everything but yourself. We're God's representatives, God's ambassadors, the bearers of the good news. Paul urges us to be about God's work in season and out of season. I don't know necessarily that he was referring to Christmas, probably not. But I think it's apropos here. Be about God's work in season and out of season. And this does include the Christmas season. There's no better time for us to share God's love. People are hopeful and receptive at this time of year. A man in Chicago called his son in New York one evening, just a couple of days before Christmas, and he said, "I hate to ruin your holiday, but your mother and I are getting a divorce. 45 years of misery is more than enough." The son screamed, "Dad, what are you talking about?" The father said, "We're sick of each other, and I'm sick of talking about it, so you call your sister in Dallas and tell her." Frantic, the son called his sister, who exploded. "There's no way they're going to get a divorce," she said. Then she called Chicago and told her father, "You are not getting a divorce. Don't do a thing until my brother and I get there tomorrow. Do you hear me?" Then she hung up. Dad smiled and said to his wife, "Well, darling, it worked. They're both coming for Christmas, and they're both paying their own way." In Chuck Swindoll's book, The Finishing Touch, there's a story entitled A Little Child's Wisdom. And in this story, he lists five things that a child might request, especially at Christmas. One, slow down. In the midst of all the hustle and bustle and hurry and worry, slow down. A child might say, "What I want for Christmas is to spend a few extra minutes with you. Just you and me. The special joy of Christmas is spending extra time with those who are dear to us. And that takes time." One evening, a man came home from work, and he was tired, and he was irritated, and he was frustrated. As soon as he walked in the door, his five-year-old son asked, "Daddy, how much money do you make an hour?" The dad replied, "That's none of your business. Why do you ask?" The son didn't give up. He just said, "I just wanted to know. Please tell me how much you make an hour." The father calmed down a little bit and he said, "Well," he said, "it probably figures out to about $25 an hour." Then the little boy said, "Daddy, can I borrow $10? The father was getting impatient and angry and said, If you're asking so you can borrow money to buy a silly toy, then you go to your room and get ready for bed. You're being selfish. I work hard for my money." Later, the father calmed down. He said to himself, maybe there's something he really wants to buy. He does not ask for money very often. The father went to his son's room and knocked on the door. Said, "Son, I'm sorry that I was so hard on you. It's been a long day and I'm worn out. Here's $10. The boy sat up smiling and says, "Thank you, Daddy." Then he reached under his pillow and started pulling out crumpled up dollar bills and pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters. Now the father was even more puzzled. The boy slowly counted out the money and finally said, "Daddy, here's $25. I want to buy an hour of your time. Can you come home early tomorrow so we can have dinner together?" Third thing that a child might say, second thing, is stay home. A couple have been married for about 30 years, and she was wondering where her husband spent all of his evenings. One night, she stayed home, and there he was. "I'm in trouble. Ladies aren't laughing." I had a couple in one of my churches when I was up north. He ran a gas station there in that small town. And I was talking to him one day, and somehow we got on marital relations and whatnot. He said, "My wife and I never argue." I said, "Really?" I says, "What's your secret?" He said, "Well," he said, "I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and come in to open up the station." He said, "I'm usually here till 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. By the time I get home, every night my wife's gone out to play bingo. So then I go out coon hunting. And by the time I get back in, she's already in bed asleep." We never argue. Okay. Everybody today in this season is having sales and parties. What do you think would happen if you said to your family, hey, tonight let's just stay home. Let's have some popcorn in front of the fireplace and just enjoy watching the lights on a tree. If you've got children, good luck on that one. Even with a small apartment and a cheap CD or tape player, the best place to listen to Christmas music is at home. Children love the security. I'm almost done. Children love the security and the solitude of home. Guard your home time this Christmas season. Another thing they might say is tell stories. Storytelling has almost completely disappeared from the modern scene. Yet the child in each of us urges, tell me a story. Another one that they might ask for is have fun. Every child loves to play, so play. Take our clues from the young and do things that bring back the joy. Cook a meal together or bake cookies or take them to someone who stops smiling. Go caroling. Whatever, just don't forget to have fun. And then the fifth one would be give yourself. It's easy to swap out store-bought stuff for the real thing. You. Your touch of appreciation, your listening ear, your phone call of love. Something you make with your own hands. Think of ways to extend yourself to those who need encouragement. Also from that same book by Chuck Swindoll, The Finishing Touch, he gives a Christian's Christmas list. Things that we can give or do to brighten someone else's Christmas, as well as the other 364 and a quarter days of the year. We might call these our Christmas projects and maybe even think about doing one of them a day. This is going to take a minute, but let me list some of them for you. Mend a quarrel, release a grudge, apologize if you were wrong, find time to keep a promise, speak kindly to a stranger, do the dishes, play some beautiful music during the evening meal, sincerely compliment a coworker, a neighbor, or a family member, treat someone to an ice cream cone. Sounds good. Write a long overdue note. Enter into another sorrow. Dismiss suspicion. Hug someone tightly and whisper, I love you. Now, be careful who you hug and whisper that to, okay? There are appropriate people and times, and there are some that may not be appropriate, but you get the message there. Be gentle and patient with an angry person. Pray for someone who helped you when you hurt. Forgive an enemy. Take a walk with a friend. Gladden the heart of a child. Express appreciation. Kneel down and pat a dog. Encourage an older person. Give a soft answer even though you feel strongly. Lessen your demands on others. Read a poem or two to your mate or friend. Make or bake something for someone else anonymously. Here's an interesting one. If you haven't tried it, you might. Every once in a while, I enjoy doing it. Pay for the person behind you in the drive-through line. Now, normally what I do here, you have to be careful. Normally, I'll say, how much is the person's behind me? Because if they've ordered for the whole office and it comes to $48.52, I've got a problem. But, you know, it's $5, $6, $7. I'll say, okay, I want to take care of that. A lot of times it's just a cup of coffee or a Coke or something. And so I'll take care of theirs, and I watch as I pull out. They pull up. and the cashier won't take their money or their card or whatever. It kind of blows their mind in a fun way. Think what would happen if more people would pass that on. Give your teacher a break. Be especially cooperative. Seek out a forgotten friend. Smile, laugh, and laugh some more. Offer to babysit a weary mother. What do you think would happen if we made Christmas a year-long extended gift of ourselves to others? Unselfishly, without fanfare, without announcement or obligation or reservation or hypocrisy. Kind of, sort of like Jesus did. A third warning that we might post. Warning. Financial hazard. Don't forget, we're called to be good stewards. Remember, everything we have belongs to God. We all have financial commitments to God's kingdom and God's work. Dare to ask, can I really afford this? Does this gift really say what I want to say? Do I really believe that homemade gifts are more appreciated and less expensive? We look back at that first Christmas, and yes, the gifts that were given to Jesus were expensive. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we don't know how much of that he received. We say, well, there are three wise men because there are three gifts. There might have been 500 wise men who all brought either gold or frankincense or myrrh. There may have been two or three truckloads by the time it all got together. But remember, they were kings and they could afford it. And they were giving those gifts to the King of Kings. What a difference it makes. So often, especially in this day and age, I remember when I was a little guy, Christmas time would come around and my mother would give me $5 to buy gifts for the whole family. Two brothers, a little later a baby sister, mom, dad, and anybody else I wanted to buy gifts for. Even back then, I had to do a lot of shopping to find that many gifts for $5. But I remember one Christmas not too long ago, our grandchildren, Cheyenne and Chalma, Cheyenne is now 13, Chalmas is 10, several Christmases ago, their two favorite gifts. You know, and now we're living in a day and age where it's not hard to buy a $500, $600, or $700 gift for a kid, right? Their two favorite gifts that Christmas. One of them was an office chair that Catherine had in her office at home. It was on wheels and it no longer had a back on it. And boy, they could scoot all over the house on that thing. The other gift that was right on the top of the one that they used the most after Christmas was an empty cardboard box. But so often we think, oh my goodness, it's only $1,000. Well, they deserve it. Yeah, you get the idea. Here's a revolutionary thought. What if we were to say, if I can't pay cash, I won't buy it? One more warning. Warning, psychological hazard. Don't get worked up for a letdown. We allow this world and this society in which we live to work us up into a frenzied high. And this fevered pitch continues all the way through midnight on December the 25th. And then that wave crests and crashes, and we find ourselves on a corresponding low. Don't sacrifice the new year on the altar of December 25th. When we focus on the Christ of Christmas, there's no crash after Christmas. The reason for the season is simple. God so loved that he gave. What do you suppose would happen If we came to realize that all of the parties and lights and the music and the gifts for everyone else are all secondary. God so loved that he gave. This is when God's love should be first and foremost in our hearts. We should show the world what real eternal life and unconditional love are. And how really special Christmas can be. Christmas is not tinsel and lights and all of these other things that we use to dress it up. Suppose we were to show the world that Christmas is all about love. What a difference it would make in this world that we live in. Suppose we could show everybody, street people, immigrants, addicts, suppose we show all these people that God so loved that he gave, and I want to find ways to share that love and grace with you too. That's what Christmas is all about, folks. We shouldn't have to put any warning labels on it. There shouldn't be any hazards associated with it if we remember what it really is. God so loved that he gave. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you today for your love and for your care. We thank and praise you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you gave. We pray now that you would help us, that we might love you enough, not only to give to you and for the building of your kingdom, but to find ways to share that love and grace with others. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, you're familiar with the chorus. It's the chorus that we sing to O Come All Ye Faithful. But there are several versions of it. Do we have the lyrics on the screen, Keith? I believe we do. Thought we did. Maybe we do. Anyway, there it is. O Come, Let Us Adore Him. Second verse, we'll praise his name forever. Third verse, we'll give him all the glory. And the fourth verse, for he alone is worthy. Let's stand together as we sing. Come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ Lord. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. Christ the Lord, we'll give him all the glory, we'll give him all the glory, we'll give him all the glory, Christ the Lord, for he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy.
First Sunday of Advent, may you leave this place having already received that wonderful gift that God has offered to us, ready to go out into the world and share it with others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.